has joined the church because my life has completely changed for the better.
Well done, Vlad. That's an amazing story. I thought it was worth playing the whole thing. And you are amazing. We love having you as part of the church family. Fantastic story. And I love the way, you know, Vlad's story illustrates being welcomed into an environment of faith. That Vlad came along to IT for the Terrified, then to picture this. Was invited at Christmas and Easter. And then thought, well, maybe I'll try a Sunday, the welcome on the steps as she came up, joining in with us and coming on an Alpha course, which is a great way of discovering faith. And then going on the membership course, finding faith, and then these incredible healings. Her arm and her hand. And if you notice, when we talk about healing today, that when Vlad was prayed for the first week, all the pain went. And then she came back the second week and asked for praying for the swelling to go down, which went over 2 weeks' time, and then no contraption anymore, and cooking, cleaning, knitting. I remember the first time the youth going off to Soul Survivor, you made them so many Welsh cakes, I think they're eating them for days. Then with Vlad's lungs, all the church prayed many times in and out of hospital. And then again with Vlad's ear, if you notice, she had general prayer after the meeting, went home, and then after a time later sat watching TV, she has this sensation of like water down her head, the ear crackling and her ears being opened. And the thing I love as well, I love the bit where you say, oh, I can hear the TV. Like, oh, I've been healed. Is that it's great to see when somebody becomes part of a community of love and care. It's the whole package. The transforming power of Jesus in our lives. Neighbors have seen the difference. Transforming power of his healing upon our bodies, but being part of a loving community where we share and care and look after one another. And it's the whole package. And looking at healing now, if you remember in week one, we looked at stories, lots of stories and testimonies of people being healed. Week two, Julian explained the theology. And week three now, we're looking at how to pray for healing for people. So this is what I'd like you to do today. We've had a modern day story, and now we're going to look at how Jesus healed. And what I'd like you to do, I'd like to be like a student this morning. So I'd like you to put yourself in the position of somebody who might be coming for healing, looking at how Jesus did healing. And I also want you to put yourself in the position of someone who's going to pray for others. So I want you to look at Jesus as like a template. How did Jesus pray for others? It's a model for us. And how did people receive their healing? That's a model for us. Okay? So I'll make you work a little bit this morning. And we're going to look at basically how to pray. Now to kick us off, I love the book of Mark. I enjoy all the Gospels, but what I like about Mark, you can almost hear him saying it. He had an eyewitness account. He writes fast. He writes with excitement, and he just carries you through this journey of Jesus' life. And I would encourage you this summer to read Mark again. Read the Gospel of Mark. Get back in, up close and personal to Jesus, and see that journey. And Mark shows how healing was the hallmark of Jesus' life. And right there in the very first chapter, he dives straight in. In the first chapter of Mark, verse 32, Mark says this: "That evening, as the sun set, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door." That's such a picture, isn't it? Of the sun going down, Simon's mother-in-law gets healed, word goes out, you know, they tweeted it, and there it is. The whole town are now at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. And a few chapters later, in Mark 6, 54, he summarizes what is happening with Jesus. Now word has got out, and he says this: "As soon as they got out of the boat," that's Jesus and the disciples, "people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. You imagine this picture now of people running to find him, carrying their friends on mats. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Isn't that fantastic? So that kind of sets the brushstrokes. So what we see, what Mark shows us, is people's desperation, but people's realization that if they get close to Jesus, they will get healed. And all the stories we've looked at in the last few weeks are incredible stories of people today being healed. And I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the series again as a whole to hear all those modern day stories. So out of Jesus' stories, we're going to look at a few stories in detail, and I want you to pick out for yourself what is going on in this story. So the first one is leprosy. And I'm going to compare two examples of healing leprosy. Now, in the Bible, when they say leprosy, there was a horrible disease that it was a skin disease, and it affected your skin and your body, but you started to lose extremities, so fingers, nose, toes, and then gradually it would work its way through your body. Horrible disease, it was highly contagious, and you would have to live outside of the city. And if you had friends or family, they could leave food outside the city for you to come and get, but you were just, that's it. Your life was over, really. You lived on the margins of society. But leprosy also covers a wealth of contagious skin diseases. And so here we go with the first one. In Luke 17, we hear this story about 10 lepers. Here we go. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And this is important. It's the borderlands. So this is where outcasts are going to be living, on the borders in between communities. Also, it's significant that it's Galilee where the Jews live and Samaria where the Samaritans live, which if you trace all the history back to what we've done earlier about the dividing of the kingdom and everything, the Samaritans were considered more of a half-breed and the Jews didn't really like them. So this is significant to the story. As Jesus and the disciples were going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. They had to. They stood at a distance. And they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So they're shouting out to Jesus. Now, I'd imagine everyone in those days were a bit scared of lepers because they didn't want what they've got and they would keep their distance. So at a distance, they shout. When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I want you to notice some things in this story. They're at a distance, okay? They're at a distance. They shout, "Jesus, can you help us?" Jesus shouts back, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Because if you got healed or cleansed, you had to show yourself to a priest for it to be verified to go back into the community. When they heard that, they didn't argue with Jesus. They didn't ask for details. They just went. And as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, so I'm going to just jot these words up here. So it was at a distance. There was a command to go. And as they went, they were healed at a distance. Now, second story. We got a leper in Luke 5. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Now, this is like a strange thing that Jesus did. Everyone around was like, doesn't he know you don't touch them, right? That you might shout at a distance, but you don't touch them. But Jesus touched on purpose. He touched this man to show that nobody is untouchable to Jesus. Nobody is too far. And he went and laid his hand on the man. Everyone would have been shocked. And I think, how long was it since that man had been touched by anybody? Yeah? But Jesus touched him. He wanted to communicate something. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, I want you to notice with this story. The first story was at a distance. He shouted an instruction. This one was up close and personal. and he touched the man. There was a command, and the healing was instant. So these guys got healed as they went. No touching. This guy got healed in an instant with a command, hands on. Okay? So, first story, at a distance and instruction. As they went, they were healed. They put faith into action. I remember a time when Julian was praying for a young boy in the church here who'd hurt his shoulder and arm playing sport and had a big championship coming up that he couldn't participate in. And you prayed for him a couple of times, and there was a little bit of difference, and you felt, I should ask him to do something. So he said, tell you what, go and touch the top of the door over there. And the boy went over, put his hand up, touched the top of the door, and in obedience got the full movement back in his arm, just like that. Sometimes we're at a distance. Recently, I was asked to go and speak in Cheltenham Racecourse. And when I'm in this racecourse, there's 1,000 people there. I'm speaking on the topic I've been asked to, which was to love mercy. But I really felt God wanted to heal people in the room. And so I was like speeding my notes so I could leave time for healing. But I told that there wasn't any way that we could call 1,000 people out and pray for them and touch them. But I thought Jesus still wants to heal people here. So I finished my message early and I said, there's people here. You're going to get healed today. Put your hand on your pain. And I just prayed a blanket prayer at a distance. So people had to do something. They put their hand where the pain was. We prayed a prayer over everybody, and then they sat down and carried on with the program, which was this band doing an acoustic set of Happy by Pharrell Williams and handing out lemon sorbet, ready for this next guy to come from Hope for Justice. So, but people started getting healed in the room, and they came up and interrupted the program, asked for a microphone, and started sharing about these diseases and conditions, and they couldn't move, and they couldn't do this, and they were so happy and excited, they interrupted the program, and they got healed at a distance. But sometimes they get healed close up. It's interesting as well that the man asked this question, and he asked Jesus, are you willing? And what did we learn last week? That Jesus is willing. Jesus is always willing. It is not his plan for people to be sick, but Jesus wants people to be well. And so he said, I'm willing. Okay, let's move on to another one. I'm going to move on to blindness, okay? Now, the first one takes place in Jericho. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When the blind man heard the crowd going by, he asked, what's happening? And people told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Now, this man knows it's his chance. He can't work because he can't see. He sat there blind. He hears a commotion, and he asks people what's going on. And he realizes Jesus is passing by. He has one option. This is a bit like in Wimbledon when you shouldn't really shout, come on, Murray! But, you know, decorum to the winds, you shout when you really, you know, you want him to go for that next point. And so in the same way, this man calls out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who were leading the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more. So the more they're going, be quiet, this is out of place, be quiet. He starts shouting, be quiet, you shouldn't be doing this. You're disturbing the scene. You're spoiling the ambience. Jesus! He knows this is his only chance. So he's shouting his head off. Jesus stopped, ordered the man to be brought to him. Now, on this occasion, it's not at a distance. He asked for the man to be brought. When the man comes near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? I love this question because this is like, you know, when I shared about the experience with praying for the people that didn't get healed and the older couple are waiting over there. And I just had enough of this like unbelief in the room. And I went over and I said to the couple who were waiting with sticks and everything, do you believe Jesus wants to heal you? Do you believe Jesus can heal? And do you believe he's going to heal you? And they said yes, and they got healed. Do you remember that? Did I share that story? Yeah. Okay. Listen to week one if you didn't hear it. And so he says to the man, what do you want me to do for you? And it's like asking, what do you want then? What is it you want? And the man says, I want to see. That's all, I want to see. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God too. It's like the man knew what he wanted. And it's like the week before last, we were doing a mission in Milford Haven, and we'd been praying for the sick and talking about healing. And at the end, a little old lady came up to see me, and she put something in her pocket, and she said to me, I want to be healed from my deafness. I have two hearing aids. One's in my pocket. If I take this one out now, I can't hear you at all. Shall I take it out? And I was thinking, will it make any difference to her being healed if she takes it out? Or will it affect her balance? Will she fall over? I'm a bit inexperienced with hearing aids. So she asked me again, shall I take it out? And I said, do what you feel most comfortable with. So she took it out, put it in a pocket, and she went, I can't hear you now. Okay. So I put my hands on her, over her ears, and I began to pray, ears be healed in the name of Jesus. And I began to pray over her. She had her eyes closed. And all of a sudden, she opened her eyes and she went, thanks very much, and walked off. And I was like, well, have you been healed? And she went, yes, and put her hearing aids away. That's like this man here. What do you want? I want to see. To this lady, what do you want? I want to hear. I know Jesus can do it. And he did. So that's the first blindness story. The second one is in Bethsaida in Mark 8. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Okay, so the first story, if we make some notes here, the man is yelling, okay? The first story, he's yelling. He wants attention. He wants Jesus. He's going for it. The second story, friends bring the man. He's not reaching out for it. Friends bring, and the friends are begging. And they beg Jesus to touch him. Now, Jesus, this is a strange thing. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. Then he spit on the man's eyes. And he put his hands on them. Then Jesus asked, do you see anything? The man looked up and said, I see people. They're like trees walking around. So he's got half his sight back. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored. He saw everything clearly. But Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. Now this is the interesting thing, okay? Jericho, the blind man, is yelling out and he's persistent. He won't give up. He's persistent. There's the question. What do you want? I want to see. So it's talking about the man's faith. And it's very, very public. It's right in the middle of a crowd. He's yelling out. Jesus asks him to be brought. He's brought over. He gets healed. It's all very public. It's in a crowd. But this man, he's brought by friends, and Jesus takes him out to a private place outside. So this is more private now. And do you remember Julian explained this passage of scripture last week where the town, there was just a real low faith climate where Jesus couldn't do many miracles there. And so Jesus decided to take him out of that low faith climate and take him outside the village where he could pray for him where there was faith. So our faith and the faith climate that we create is extremely important. When Blod came into this family of faith, and was offered prayer. In the family of faith, she received her healing, as many people have done in this room. And having been healed once of her hand, she then healed of her lungs. She knows God can heal her. Then she's healed of her ear and healed of your hand the other couple of weeks ago when we prayed. And so there's a rolling of faith once you see it. This is why all these people were at the door, because they knew that they would be healed. So faith is really important. Now, whereas in Jericho, Jesus spoke the word, so he spoke, in this story, what does he do? He spits. Now, it seems very un-Jesus-like to spit and spit on someone's eyes and rub it in, but he did. And so on this occasion, it's all about touch and it's all about hands-on. And this is the thing. He prays for the man, he gets half healed. All the other stories so far have been instant. This man, half healed. Jesus prays again. He receives his sight. It's all about persistence. We sometimes have to pray more than once. Jesus had to pray more than once. Okay. And then there was this instruction, don't go back to the village, because faith is really important. Okay, and next one. Our next category is friends. There's a lot of people, I've noticed, as I'm reading through the miracles, is that a lot of people sought Jesus out, but a lot of people were brought by friends. They couldn't come by themselves. Their friends brought them. This is a very, this is a familiar one. The man who was deaf and mute in Mark 7. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, this is another one, going away private, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. And then he spit and touched the man's tongue. So again, this is very up close and personal. It's unexpected. It seems very un-Jesus-like. I know in my mind I'd be thinking, hope he washed his hands after the leper before they went in my ears. And so he gets his fingers, he puts them in the man's ears. He spit and touched the man's tongue. And then this is interesting. Jesus looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, be opened. Why? It's the only time that he looks up to heaven with a deep sigh. Is he reminding himself that this is a work the Father is going to do? Is it compassion? Why does he look up to heaven with a sigh? But it says he looks up to heaven, fingers in ears, spit, right? And with a deep sigh went, be opened. By God's breath, connecting with heaven. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Wow. So, this time, Jesus is doing it. He's spitting again, right? Touching again. I've got fingers here. There's a big sigh, connecting with heaven. But again, it's more private. It's taken the man away. And the friends brought him. Interesting. I wonder what the friends thought. Another story of friends, Luke 5. This is a very familiar one. The power of the Lord was on Jesus to heal the sick. I love that phrase. I'm saying, Lord, we want your power on us to heal the sick. We want your power. We want to see more of this. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered the man on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, then it goes into, that we won't go into now, an argument with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus out. So in the middle of this scene, the friends carry him up. They break open the tiles on someone's roof. They let him down. It's crowded. It's chaos. There's an argument with the Pharisees. And in the middle of all this, Jesus has compassion on this man. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Now this time there's no spitting, there's no touching, there's no finger in the ear. He doesn't even touch the man. It's with a word. It's not in private. It's in front of a crowd. It's in front of his friends. He says to him, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on and went home praising God. It says, everyone was amazed. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? Everyone was absolutely amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and they said, we have seen remarkable things today. So when Jesus healed on this occasion, it was with a word, no touching, just with a word. And it was an instruction and the man had to perform an action. He says to him, get up. So the man is lying there. He has a choice now. Jesus has told him to get up. He hasn't got up for years. But somehow he gets up. And he's totally healed immediately. And he goes home. Amazing. It's amazing. So we got the deaf and mute man aside and away from the crowd. Hands on, spit, fingers, touching his tongue. He looks up to heaven with a deep sigh. There's something amazing and beautiful going on here, compared with a very public argument with the Pharisees, where he heals with just a word, no touching, the man acts, he gets up and he's healed. Last one. Three women. I want to compare these stories. Three women. Last one. Luke 13. This is a woman whose back is crippled. She's been crippled for years. She can't stand up. She's like this. Now, years ago, we went on holiday. There was a man like that. And I felt so that I should go over and pray for him. But I just really lacked the confidence to go and interrupt his holiday. But he was so bent over at meal times. His face was so near the table. This is an interesting one. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. The people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Now look at the difference with this one. This woman was in the background. She'd been ill like this for 18 years. She didn't come and find Jesus. She didn't seek him out. She was just there. It was Jesus who spotted her. He called her. Jesus called her. He spotted her and called her out. Now, this is the thing. Sometimes we don't want to bother Jesus. Someone has a word of knowledge for a bad ear, and you've had a bad year for 8 years, but you don't want to bother Jesus. It must be someone else. Someone else must have a worse ear than my ear. And we don't want to bother him. We're at the back of the crowd. But Jesus wasn't letting this go. She had a visible crippling disability. And he called her forward, called her out. Then he spoke. After he spoke, he laid on hands. And she was healed. It's amazing. Okay, another woman. Simon's mother-in-law, Luke 4. Jesus left the synagogue, went to the home of Simon. I think they were going home for bargee and chips. It was the end of the day. They'd done all their work, and they're going to hang out at Simon's. But there was a problem. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. Maybe she's the only one who could cook dinner. So he bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. I wonder if there's sort of, you know, some motives going on there, you know. There's no dinner, she's sick. So Jesus rebuked the fever. He spoke to it. He spoke to the fever. He rebuked it. It left straight away. Now, when she was in a high fever, you know, if you've ever had really, really high temperature and been ill, you're out of it a bit sometimes, aren't you? So she didn't ask for Jesus. She didn't look for Jesus. The friends asked. The family asked, "Will you come and pray for her?" Maybe she wasn't in a condition to ask, and she was healed. So we've got one lady called out, speak, lay hands. Another lady is just lying there in bed, out of it, and Jesus heals. This is the last one, Luke 8. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but nobody could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Now, you see, this woman is in a different category. This woman has decided, we've talked about her before, she's decided, she's left home, she's tracking through the crowd, she's following him, she's looking for opportunity. She knows if she just touches the edge of her cloak, she'll be healed. Remember back in Mark 6, Mark mentions of the people who just would touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. Maybe she heard a story of someone who was healed that way. But she searches out, she's waiting for her moment, and she touches the edge of his cloak. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And Peter said, "Master, the whole crowd are crowding and pressing on you." And Jesus said, "No, someone touched me. I know the power has gone out of me." And that's what she was reaching for, the power. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling, fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she'd been instantly healed. Notice this, why she touched him and how she was healed. In Blod's story, Blod shared with her friends. The doctor was like, "Well, where's your contraption? I don't wear it anymore." She shared, what had happened, how it had happened. Her friends see the change. She's writing out prayers for her friends. And this woman told why she touched Jesus and how she'd been healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Three very different stories. Somebody is out of it, the friends asked to pray. Somebody is called out of a crowd in the synagogue, and somebody is tracking for their moment to just touch Jesus. What does this tell us this morning about how to pray for the sick? What does it tell us about what Jesus did? What does it tell us? There's no rules to this. We just go and pray. Sometimes it's hands-on, sometimes it's hands-off. I've never yet stuck my fingers in someone's ears or spat on their tongue, but hey, maybe there's a first later. This is the thing with Jesus. Some people were healed at a distance. Don't let that put us off. Don't let that stop us. In Cheltenham, I was restricted by what was happening. I had to honour the plans of the people who'd invited me. But it didn't mean I couldn't pray en masse at a distance and people got healed. Up close, at a distance, private or in a crowd. I don't think any one of us would particularly want to pray in a crowd with a crowd watching. But should we let that hold us back? No. Hands on, hands off. Spit, touch, just a word. If you notice how Jesus prays, it's nearly always an instruction. Go, stand, as an instruction. And sometimes the person has to do something. There's an activity where they have to cooperate. Sometimes it's not an instruction, it's a command. Somebody is commanded, be clean, receive. Another time it was rebuked, the fever was rebuked and it left. Some people reached out to touch. Some people were brought by friends. Interesting questions. Are you willing? Yes, I'm willing. What do you want? I want to see. Can you see the engagement with faith? So some people, like Jairus' daughter who died, was passive. She was already dead. She was passive. She wasn't engaging with anything. But Jesus brought her back to life. Other people were engaging, reaching out to touch. But this is the interesting thing. Jesus, in between all these stories, goes off to quiet places to pray. There he is praying, seeking God. And maybe he is seeking God for the power, for the understanding, to be close with God, that in those moments with the passive who are dead. Remember the boy who was dead, the widow at Nain, where, you know, there was a funeral. And he walked past and thought, this woman has no one to provide for her now. And he brought the boy back to life. So what happens with those people who are passive? It's not to do with their faith, is it? But there's something going on there. Some were immediate, some needed persistence. The man who was half healed. It tells us that when we pray for people and there's a little bit of movement, we keep praying. We don't give up, but we keep going. And so what do we learn from this today? That we just got to pray. We've got to pray for people and not stop praying. And I would ask the question, when we're timid or unsure, we have to ask, what is the worst that could happen? If you pray for your friend in work and they are healed, everyone in the office knows Jesus is real, right? If you pray for your friend in work and they're not healed at this time, what's the worst that can happen? This is the worst that can happen. They sense the presence of Jesus when you pray. Because Jesus turns up when we pray. And they will sense his presence. They will know his spirit on them. They will know that he cares because you care. And Rachel was sharing some stories with me last night where she's been actively, hearing the stories coming out of church here, she's actively in London praying for people. And she said, I haven't seen one saved yet, but what has happened is open people's hearts. It's opened people's warmness, openness to knowing about God and Jesus and who he is. So we said, keep praying because it's coming and it will come. And so let's carry on praying and have confidence. So in our daily lives, we need to have the confidence to carry on praying. Week one, we heard all the stories. Go back and listen to it again and have confidence because of the stories. Week two, we understood the theology. Go back and listen to week two so we are confident in our theology of what the Bible says. Week three, let's have confidence in Jesus' example. He just went for it because he had compassion for people. And so here's a few common threads as we end with a how to pray for somebody. So here's some little pointers. The first one is to have our eyes open to notice anybody in pain who God is drawing to our attention. Sometimes it's obvious. You know, somebody might have a stick or an arm in a sling. It's obvious. Sometimes it's not obvious. Remember on holiday once we were in the Canary Islands and we went into this little coffee shop. And while we were drinking a coffee, I said to Julian, that woman behind the counter is in pain. And he looked over and said, she just looks normal to me. I said, I just feel God's telling me she's in pain. I should go and pray for her. So after we finished our coffee, we were waiting for the queue to go down because it was a coffee shop and a cake shop. And there was her serving and her husband was in and out. So I waited for the queue to go down and I went over. Now, I don't speak any Spanish and she spoke very little English, right? But everyone knows the word pain. And I went up to her and I said, I apologize for disturbing you. But I just want to ask you a question. And she said, yes. And I said, are you in pain today? And from out of the counter, she produced this arm that was all bandaged up. She had a horrible accident where, was it burnt and broken? She'd had some kind of accident in the kitchen where I think she'd scalded her arm and it meant she fell and broke it and they hadn't been able to get her to a hospital during this long weekend for some various reasons. So she was in agony waiting to go to the doctor. Now, I couldn't see that arm behind the counter, but I said to her, would you like me to pray for you? And so she came out round the side and Julian came over as well and we prayed for this lady's arm. And we went in every day and gradually the pain went to go from this lady's arm while she's waiting for medical attention. And on the last time, on the last couple of times we went in there, she was serving coffee, waiting for it. Then her face would light up and she would come over the side. She started making us free coffees and we were like, no, really, we'd rather pay for the coffee. And there was a language barrier, that lady, all the pain went from her arm waiting for medical attention. Now, we could ignore these little prompts. Or we can just be brave enough. What's the worst that can happen? You go up there and say, are you in pain? And the lady goes, no. And you go, thank you very much. And go home. And go to a different coffee shop. Okay, so we notice. We ask the question, are you in pain? So the other night, we go into Sainsbury's. It's late at night. They're just about to close. It's 2:50. We're in there to get stuff. And this lady is sort of doing the ding, ding like this with her hand like that. So Julian said, oh, what's the matter with your hand? And she explained that sometime before when she lived in London, she'd moved something along. I think it was a big stack of like beer or toilet paper. It was a big stack of something like that. And as it got closer, and she had the hand by the handle went down into the conveyor belt. So her hand was pulled down. Obviously, it couldn't go down in there, but it was caught with the strap. And eventually, the strap broke, and her hand cracked up on the till. So it all swollen up, and it left her like that with pain. So Julian asked, you know, was her hand okay? She explained this story. She's doing all the thing. I'm getting out my Nectar card. And I'm thinking, I know it's 9:50 now, but we can't possibly go without praying for this lady because it's just not fair. It's not fair not to pray. So I said, we're seeing a lot of healing in our church. Would you like me to pray for your hand? And she went, oh, yes, I would actually. So we finished up the transaction, and in between waiting for the pin to come up, I prayed for her hand. She was really grateful. She was really touched, put the pin in, the receipt and everything. Is your hand any better? She said, oh, it's really like tingling. It's like pins and needles. It's tingling. So I said, Julian, why don't you have a go? So we're looking at the clock and the security's coming. In fact, they locked us in, but we didn't care. And so then Julian prayed for her hand, and we had to leave because we were literally locked in. I had to wait for someone to come and undo the doors for us to go out. And that lady was left with tingling. We don't know what happened next. But wouldn't it be unfair not to give this gift of healing? Wouldn't it be unfair not to share it? So we look, we notice. Something we can say to help people is, are you in pain now? Would you like me to pray for you? A lot of people in our church are seeing healing right now, and I would like to pray for you. If you can share an appropriate story, that really helps. I often quickly say, like with this lady, 2 weeks before, I'd prayed for the man that I mentioned earlier who was over on the side, who had all crooked hands. And when I prayed for him, his hands went all normal, apart from one was just a little bent on the finger. And so I was able to say, I prayed for a man and the other week. His hands were like that, and after prayer, they were like this, with just one little bent finger. So Jesus likes to heal hands. And so it puts faith in people. It helps that faith climate we talked about, whereas remember, Jesus took the man by the hand and took him outside the village. So we share an appropriate story, we pray. How did Jesus pray? It looks like he prayed with his eyes open, very simply, in normal language, and brief. That's what we see from the scripture. And most people got healed instantly or after a second time. So why don't we do what Jesus did? So we take that, we took that lady's hand and we say, Jesus, pray that you'll come with your power now. So if this lady is kind of in process of what's happening, I command healing in this hand in Jesus' name. I didn't say, go, take up your till and walk, but, you know, an appropriate prayer. And she started to have tingling in her hand. If we have time then, we can pray again. And mostly people at the moment are getting healed straight away or after a couple of prayers. When we did the healing cafe, it was amazing how many people got healed straight away or after a second prayer. So, how do we pray? Don't hold back. Just don't hold back. There's no circumstance to hold back. This is a thing I admire about Blood, just to end now. On the film, that film's nearly 6 years ago, Blood was 80 years of age when she had all that healing. Now, Blood could have thought to herself, well, I'm getting a little older now. You know, the body has creaks and groans when you get older. I'll just accept it and put up with it. But no, no acceptance. It says, Jesus can heal my body too. There's no circumstance in which you go, well, I'm older now, I deserve this. Or I did that stupid thing on the skateboard, I deserve this. Yeah, there was a lady the other day that we prayed for, and she said, oh, I felt, you know, I deserve this, because after my operation, my back operation, I was told not to lift anything heavy, and I managed it for 8 years, and then I love my dog so much. The dog was on the back seat, and he's old now, and he couldn't get off the back seat, and I forgot. She said, I bent down, I lifted up the dog, and I was in agony, and all the pain came back. And she said, I didn't know if I could ask Jesus, because I felt it was my fault. But she went to church that Sunday, asked her vicar to pray for her. He prayed for her, all the pain went. I think that's like Jesus saying, it doesn't matter that it was your fault that you picked up the dog. I still want to heal you. There's no conditions here. Jesus wants to heal us. I also like that you share your story, Blood. We need to share these stories. How will we create faith? By sharing the stories. If you don't have a story, share someone else's. Listen again to week one and week two and share those stories, because Jesus is here to heal. Let's not keep these amazing things to ourselves, but let's actually go out there and pray for people. And let's pray for people this week. This week. Let's have a challenge, right? And we'll hear back next week, unless you're on holiday. Why don't we take the opportunity this week to put this into practice? Perhaps no spitting and, you know, ear fondling, maybe not, but who knows if God tells you to. Why don't we take a challenge this week? God is doing amazing thing with healing. Let us spot who's around us and say, would you like me to pray for that headache? Or is that knee in pain? You seem to be limping. You hear the story. So would you like me to pray for you? Because we often see people healed in our church. Let's have a challenge this week. Whatever age we are, we share our healing stories and we pray for somebody by this time next week, shall we? Yes, great. Okay, let's pray. If anyone here has got bad ears, they're deaf or they're hurting, or something wrong with your ears, I want you to take your fingers and put them in your ears. We're going to pray. If you've got bad ears in any way. Jesus, we've seen amazing healing in the church here and across Wales. You're just doing incredible things. And Lord, we want this to become normal in our lives. I pray for every person here who has got pain or difficulty in their ears. Their ear is deaf, or there is pain, or there's something wrong in their ears. I pray, Lord, that you release your healing power now to every person with ear problem, and we command healing in the name of Jesus to every ear problem in this room in the name of Jesus. Ears, be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, I want you to take your fingers out your ears. I want you to let me know if there's any difference so far. Unless you can't hear me. Okay, I'm going to pray again. And Julian's got a couple of words of knowledge. But we, in respect to the Sunday school teachers who are out there, we're going to pray for people once you've collected the children. But I think they can go for another 2 minutes. So let's see what God's going to do in the room. We're going to pray for ears again. And if anyone has got a bad shoulder, for every physical need in this church family. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible testimony of what you've done in Blod's life. She no longer wears that contraption. You've opened her ear, you've healed her lungs, and your hand is upon her life. I thank you, Lord, for every person in this room who has received healing complete or a measure of healing. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bring that to total completion, that this church will pray with great confidence to every person out there who needs to know you and know your love and how much you care. Lord, we pray that there will be an increase in the healing among us, that we will be a healing community because you are among us, Jesus. So, Lord, we pray you release healing. We pray, Lord, especially this morning for Sean, who just had her operation this week. Lord, we ask that you'll accelerate that healing, that you will knit everything back together, your hand will be upon her for healing. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who's received healing here, for Jill with her operation weeks ago. We pray for healing on her too. And Lord, we pray you'll bless Adam and his family as they take care of things this week. So Lord, we thank you. Increase healing among us. In Jesus' name, amen.